The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. This evening we come together and we celebrate, as I said, the great feast of the Immaculate Conception. And in celebrating this feast, as I kind of sat with the feast and preparing for the liturgy today, it strikes me that this feast is kind of unique among the great celebrations of Mary, which, of course, there are many. Many of those celebrations are rooted in an event, such as the Annunciation of Mary or the Visitation. Many of those feasts are rooted in a title, the oldest being Mary, the Mother of God, the Theotokos, or Our Lady, the Most Holy Rosary, or Our Lady of Perpetual Help. But this feast, I think, places us right at the very center of Mary's role with regards to our salvation. This feast, I think, draws together our human condition and what it is that we need and God's response to that. We have in our first reading, of course, the story of the fall. We have this moment in history in which Eve and Adam disobey God. And in that disobedience, immediately find themselves in the experience of sin and separation and shame. Adam blames Eve. Eve blames the serpent. Both of them regard themselves as naked. Both of them separate. And what we hear from that is at the very end of the story, and part of the reason why it's included here, is that we are told that Adam, in an act of subjugation, names his wife for the first time. He names her. And he names her Eve, because she is the mother of all the living. We are children of Eve. We are sons and daughters of Eve. And in that, God's blessing is still there. We were created good. We were created in the image and likeness of God. But we also, as children of Eve, know the experience of sin. And out of that experience of rebellion and sin, no death and no separation. Our gospel reading tonight is the story of the Annunciation, which can be a little confusing because that's the conception of Christ, not the conception of Mary. And yet we hear the story for two particular phrases. And the first is Gabriel's greeting to Mary. "Hail, full of grace, already filled with God." And we celebrate in this feast that Mary has received the singular gift of being a child of Eve, and yet not carrying with her
the experience of original sin. She's full of grace and is close to God. She is holy. Her whole life is about being oriented towards the Lord. And the second reason why we hear this is because of that singular gift of being created without original sin, of being holy and yet a daughter of Eve, one of us. When she herself is confronted by the angel, she does not say no. Instead, she says yes. I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done for me according to your word. And that too is very important. Because I think sometimes when we think of the Immaculate Conception, we can think of that just as some sort of favor or some sort of gift that was given to Mary. And it is a gift. Mary didn't earn. She did not earn the grace she received. She received the grace that was given to her by the power of her Son. But why this feast is important is because Mary received that gift for us. It was in her, yes, that the very same grace that we recognize in her this evening, it is in that yes that you and I receive that same grace through the gift of her Son there. In the waters of baptism and in the waters of our rebirth. As our second reading reminds us, God destined us from the very beginning to be holy and blameless in His sight. We don't like to acknowledge very often that we are sinners. And yet every single time we come into this church, we do exactly that. We acknowledge our sin before God. We acknowledge that we are children of Eve. We acknowledge that we, like Eve, are in need of grace and in need of goodness. But in the sacraments of the church, we also remember that we are children of Mary. Woman, behold your son. Behold your mother. And as her children, we too are given the gift of the life of grace. God Himself comes into the world through the gift that is given to her, so that that very same gift can be given to us as He suffers and dies on the cross. This feast, more than anything else, reminds us of our reason in this holy season for hope. We are a people who are sinful. We are a people who are broken. But we are also a people who have been redeemed. A people whose God's grace has been poured out upon us. So that just as God gifted Mary, so God gifts us. And in gifting us, leads us to eternal salvation. We are called simply to say yes. Yes, to all that it is that God graces us with. Amen.